You are Locked On Raiders, your daily Oakland Raiders podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash with a silver hat about his head and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome into another episode of the Locked On Raiders podcast. I'm your boy Q, as always, at your boy Q254. That's where you can find me if you're on Twitter. And I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. It is Super Bowl week, and Monday we got wrapped up. The first day of actually being on Radio Row was wrapped up, and it was a slow day, but it was still a hectic and busy day. And so I'm going to tell you all about that in today's episode. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you about it a little bit later in segment number one. Also, coming up on today's episode, I'm going to have not the full interview, but a little bit of the interview that myself and my co-host Craig Smoke did with Bill Romanowski, obviously former Raider. We did with him on Monday, and he's just talking about the Raiders. It's probably good about 7-8 minute chunk. The whole interview is about 17 minutes, so I'm not going to play the whole interview. It's about a variety of things on the NFL and the Super Bowl and just all kind of good stuff. You can always check that out on listencentraltexassports.com under podcasts, under Unnecessary Roughness, if you want to hear the whole thing from Bill Romanowski. But I'm just going to play for you the part that is about the Raiders. It's about 7, maybe 8 minutes long. I got that coming up in segment number two. Also, MJ Acosta from NFL Network. She covers the Raiders and she covers the 49ers for NFL Network. I caught up to her at an event on Monday night, the Super Bowl opening night event, and she was just there kind of hanging out and just taking in the sights, fresh off the Pro Bowl visit that she was at, and she was covering the Pro Bowl, but she was in Atlanta, Georgia on Monday night, and she's going to be here all week long. And so I had a good like 4 or 5 minute little interview I did with her, and come to find out, the cool thing about MJ, I mean, one of the cool things about MJ, and she actually listens to the Locked On Raiders podcast, and that was really cool. And so when I went to introduce myself to her, she kind of already knew who I was and knew what I did, and said that she listens to the podcast and she really enjoys it. And so she was more than honored to go ahead and be a part of the podcast. So pretty cool. And she has some pretty good stuff to say. I believe, as long as I don't run out of time, I believe I will get her interview in on today's episode of the podcast. If not, I'll definitely get it in there. It'll start tomorrow's episode off. So that's the plan, is to get hers in. But I also got some calls off that Locked On Raiders podcast voicemail line that I want to make sure I get in as well. So I'm going to definitely do that in segment number three. So if I have time, I'll get MJ Acosta from NFL Network. I'll get her interview in on this episode. And if I don't, then it'll be on Wednesday's episode. So that's going to be the plan. Got a couple things that I want to speak on here in segment number one. One, first of all, I want to kind of tell you how everything went down on Monday, the first day on Radio Row, downtown Atlanta, right next to Centennial Park. It's actually at the Georgia Congress Center. And so, you know, the action from Radio Row was cool. Everyone really doesn't get into town till Wednesday. I don't know if you've ever had any kind of Super Bowl experiences or gone to any of the Super Bowl events in the various cities that they've been in over the years, but on Wednesday is when it really gets crazy and there's just people everywhere. Wednesday and Thursday is like nuts. Friday is pretty busy until about, I don't know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Then suddenly people start rolling out and are thinking like, man, this has been a long week. I'm ready to get the hell out of here. So, you know, Wednesday and Thursday are going to be just crazy busy. But Monday was fun. Monday was really fun. On my radio show, we had Bill Romanowski. That started us off. And then we also had Shireen Williams from Pro Football Talk. She's a Hall of Famer. And she was great just talking NFL in general. Then we had Jermichael Finley, who used to play for the Green Bay Packers, won a ring with the Packers. And he has some really good stuff to talk about. And he's really promoting. And the thing about it, on Radio Row, most of these people are always promoting something. You know, like Bill Romanowski has a bunch of health stuff that he's doing. He gave us a lean bar, Lean One bar. He also has Smoothie King that he promotes. You know, well, Jermichael Finley was dealing with mental health situations, and from personal experience. And so he was telling us about that as well, educating us on that as well. And really, you never have any idea how these interviews are going to go. But the Jermichael Finley's interview was great. It really, really was. So if you just want to hear real life situations from a football player that's been to the highest peak, winning a Super Bowl ring and then having to retire because he had health issues, multiple concussions and neck issues, and just a really, really good interview. That also is on listencentraltexassports.com. Unnecessary Roughness is the name of the show, and then it's under podcast. You can catch it if you want to. Really good stuff. We had him on, and then we had Omar Ruiz on from NFL Network talking about just everything NFL, obviously Rams, Patriots, Super Bowl. Really, really good stuff. So that was just on Radio Row. Then had Super Bowl opening night, and this is an absolute zoo because not only are all the players from both teams, so the Rams and Patriots are represented, you have so many, you have like 5,000 members of the media there trying to interview, take pictures, whatever, with all these players, with the coaches, with each other. You know, it's just like NFL Network's there, ESPN is there, every radio station in America is there, you know, outlets from overseas is there. I mean, just everyone's there. People that are trying to go there and just be silly and do stupid stuff and be like the look at me now guy or something, you know what I mean, like all kind of craziness. So that was going on Monday night as well, and I was in attendance for that. Ran into Marcus Peters and took a couple pictures of him. And if you're following me on Twitter, I'm telling you stuff that you already know, because if you're following me on Twitter, you saw me tweet out a ton of pictures of everything from you know, from Radio Row, and also from the Super Bowl opening night event that was at the State Farm State Farm Insurance Arena, where the Atlanta Hawks play. Which, by the way, I don't like it being at a basketball arena because it's really tight quarters and small, and everybody's running into each other. And it wasn't really a good idea for me to wear my white Nikes tonight, my white Nikes on Monday night, because yeah, it they got a little dirty. But anyway, I'll clean those up at another time. So that all happened, and that was a lot of fun. And like I said, that's where I ran into MJ Acosta, was at that event and got that little interview with her. If I do get that interview on, I'll have to give you a little heads up that it's really loud at that event. So there may be a couple times, a couple questions that I ask that you actually probably don't even hear her answer. But it's just because it's so loud. I mean, again, fans, media members, all the players are there. It's just, it's really, really crazy. And there's all kind of things going on. It's like every man for himself. It's kind of like a zoo out there. So that was kind of cool. At that event, of course, I crossed paths with Obi Melifonwu, former Raiders second round pick. You know, I call him Bigfoot, you know, the guy who has 3 total tackles in the 2 games that he's played this season with the Patriots. But yet he's on Twitter talking about, you know, he's so happy to be in this situation and, you know, and being able to play for a Super Bowl. And he was always a Patriots fan. My man played in 2 games for the Patriots and has 3 total tackles, period. And I know that probably sounds like hate, and maybe it is a little bit of hate, but, you know, he hasn't done anything. We haven't seen anything from him as far as his time with the Raiders, and obviously his time with the Patriots, haven't seen anything. And so, I don't know, maybe I'm a little bit bitter because it was a wasted second-round pick by the Raiders, and, you know, maybe in less than a week he'll be a Super Bowl champ or a Super Bowl chump. Either way, it doesn't really matter, but you guys know how I feel about Obi Melifonwu. I'm not the biggest fan. I call him Bigfoot for a reason, so I ran across him, but no pictures. I didn't take no pictures of him and definitely did not try to interview him at all. So you don't have to worry about that. I did run across Kirk Morrison, obviously a former Raider. I've ran across him a few times. He was in Shenandoah, Texas, that is next to Houston, excuse me, for the Division III championship game, national championship game earlier this, in 2018, the end of 2018. I didn't get to catch up with him and really interview him, but he came up to me and was like, man, I thought we were going to chop it up. And I told him that I said, man, you were busy, so I didn't want to hold up your time. And he's like, nah, man, let's get together this week. So he should be on the show, on my ESPN Central Texas show sometime this week. And we'll definitely have to talk a little bit of Raiders. You know, he does work for the Rams right now. He's on Sirius XM. Does a lot of stuff, man. He's got his toes in a lot of water, and that's cool. You know, he's doing a lot of different things. But, yeah, he's going to make some time for your boy this week. So I'll have that as well to bring to the table for the podcast. And if everything goes as planned, man, the podcast is going to be cracking this week. And there may be times I go on long rants and conversations that really have nothing to do with the Raiders at all, kind of like what I'm doing right now. But I just want you to kind of be able to be a part of the scene and be a part of what's going on in Atlanta if you can't be here. And I know everyone can't be here, but it's just cool. And this has always been an honor for me to be able to do this, because as a kid growing up, just watching the Super Bowl faithfully every year, never thought I'd ever be in any kind of position to be near it. And now I'm covering it for a living. So since I get that great opportunity, I feel like I might as well go ahead and express that and bring it to the podcast as well and let you experience it as well. And the final note on just kind of what's going on around the city in Atlanta, I was actually in my Uber headed back to the house that we're staying at, which is in the hood, as I told you on Monday's show. And my Uber driver, his name was Edwin, and his last name is Lovelady. You can't forget that. Anyway, that's easy to remember. He's a diehard Raiders fan. So it's pretty cool. He said his wife is a Falcons fan, but he said, I'm a Raiders fan. I said, no way. He said, yeah, man, I'm a Raiders fan. I go up to Oakland at least twice a year for a game. And so we started talking about the Raiders, started talking about the podcast. So if you ever hear a guy call in and his name is Lovelady and he's from Georgia, from Atlanta, that was my Uber driver. So shout out to him. So of course I gave him a tip. He made sure I got to the hood safely and told me, oh yeah, Q, you're definitely in the hood. And then he gave me a lot of good tips on places I should go visit while I'm in town. So I'm definitely going to have to take him up on that and go to a few different places. But yeah, I want to shout out to my man, Edwin, Lovelady, my Uber driver, made sure I got back to the house Monday night very, very safely. Coming up in segment number two, Bill Romanowski. He shared his thoughts on the Raiders and what John Gruden needs to do. He also gave some thoughts on Amari Cooper, and that's going to come up next. I did not ask Romanowski anything about Derek Carr because I was going to just let that subject go for a while since we've been talking about Derek Carr a lot on the podcast. So I didn't want to bring that up, but I did hear what Romanowski told Colin Cowherd Monday, that he thought Carr would be traded. He's not a tough quarterback like Gruden likes. He's not that Rich Gannon-type quarterback. So that was very interesting to me. And again, I didn't ask Romanowski about that at all, but I did ask MJ Acosta about Derek Carr because of what Bill Romanowski said. And, you know, he does mention Rich Gannon in the interview that you're about to hear, or the portion of the interview that you're about to hear in segment number two. And I think it's very interesting. He talks about Khalil Mack, talks about Amari Cooper, talks about the state of the Raiders, you know, what John Gruden has in front of him, what he can get done. Can he get it done? That's, like I said, it's about a 7-minute chunk. And that's coming up next on the Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
All right, Raider Nation, welcome back. This is segment number two of the Locked On Raiders podcast on this Tuesday, January 29th, 2019. Your boy Q, and I told you right before we went to the little break at the end of segment number one that I had this portion of the interview with Bill Romanowski that myself and Craig Smoke did on our show Unnecessary Roughness on ESPN Central Texas, where we actually got into the Raiders. And it's funny because right off the very beginning of it, you'll hear Craig say, hey, I'm just glad I was able to even get some words in because I thought you guys would sit down and just sit here and talk Raiders the whole time. You know, I was basically going to shut him out the interview, but it was really cool, man. It was really cool. So I did get some words in about the Raiders, just asking Bill Romanowski kind of the state of it. And then Craig followed up and talked about Amari Cooper and what he's been able to do with the Cowboys. And, you know, it was pretty interesting what he had to say about Amari Cooper. Also, it's very interesting what he had to say about Khalil Mack. And I'm not going to tell you what he said. I'm going to see if you notice it and your thoughts on it, because it's not something that I had heard about Khalil Mack. So this is very interesting. And again, look, Romanowski is a guy that has more access to the team than I do. So I could take his word for whatever he's got to say more than I could just even roll with my gut feeling, because obviously, like I said, he's got more access to the team than I do. And it's just very interesting. So here's a good 7 minutes with Bill Romanowski right here on the Locked On Raiders podcast.
Well, I'm just glad to get a couple questions in here, Bill, honestly, because I just figured once you sat down, you and him were going to talk Raiders for about an hour.
I didn't
hour.
Even bring the Raiders up.
Yeah,
didn't
even come up.
But it is on my computer, as you can
right
see.
There. Yeah. Very easy tip-off.
So let me ask him, though, real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
What do you think, state of the Raiders right now? What do you think of what John Gruden is doing or attempting to do?
I think this is a situation where he has the potential to set the team up for the next 10 years. And it really comes down to drafting.
Yeah.
And you can always say that each year it's about drafting. Well, this year, it's never been more critical. I think they have three first-rounders and two second-rounders. Are you kidding me?
Right.
This is like that Dallas Cowboy Herschel Walker, similar to that kind of a situation. And then they have two first-rounders next year. So, with all that being said, if they can really hit it out of the park, and they got to hit it out of the park in free agency, they have to get, on day one, they have to get two to three guys, and they got to get them on defense, they got to get pass rushers and corners.
Right.
That's what they need, and then they got to get him in the draft, too. So with all that said, if he can do that, and I believe in John Gruden. I didn't necessarily believe in the Cleo Mack thing, but I think I understand it better now. Mm-hmm. And it was put to me this way, and I won't say by who, but someone pretty high up in the organization, is that it was Cleo Mack or we're not able to sign anybody else. And, you know, you can kind of take that either way. You saw what he did with the Bears. But I will say this, too. He's got a very arthritic knee. So I think that played into it. And I think when you got a 10-year contract and you're John Gruden, and there really is no balance of power, you are, you know, the judge and the jury.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how good that is. It's good when you can do what Bill Belichick has done, because that's really what Bill Belichick is. Mm-hmm. He's the judge and the jury.
Right. He's proven it.
He's proven it. John Gruden proved it 1 year back in the day, as far as in Tampa winning a Super Bowl. He turned the Raiders around with Rich Gannon, who I think I see over there somewhere, or he was over there. And he was also, Rich Gannon was my teammate. So now it's about proving it, getting the talent, coaching that talent, and going out there and playing Raider kick-ass football. And it's not easy.
Right.
One thing I did see that really impressed me is the team did not give up this year. And they did not have, they didn't have any talent. Guys, they just had players. And I always put it this way. How many mules have you seen win a Kentucky Derby?
Right.
Zero.
Zero.
Yeah.
They had a bunch of mules.
Yeah.
Hey, mules can be good mules, and they can be productive, and they can every once in a while make a play.
Right.
But you're not going to change games with mules.
Right.
Hey.
That's a great description.
Yeah. You know, and I always stands out to me is you need at least four guys that can change a game. When you look at the teams that are making a run at it in the playoffs, they have four or five game changers on their squad. And one has to be also a quarterback. You know, when you have that, it can get special.
Right.
And you have to coach them up right, and you got to put them in the right spot and do all that. And so John Gruden has quite a task ahead of him. It's, you know, I think the future is exciting when you see the potential, but now he's got to nail it.
Right.
Khalil Mack was an eye-opening trade because I just don't know how many people expected it. But then Amari Cooper followed that as well. We got to see a lot of Amari being from Texas. Your thoughts on what he did with the Cowboys and what that team did this year?
You know, Jerry Jones, hats off to him. He saw something, and without Amari Cooper, they don't make it to the playoffs.
No.
So hats off to him. I was actually in a game. I was at the game later in the season when they played the Eagles.
Okay.
You know, at Cowboy Stadium. Mm-hmm. And that was my first game that I watched at Cowboy Stadium. It was awesome.
Yeah, pretty cool.
And I was impressed. I was like, you know what? Jerry, you did it right. Because it was awesome.
Right.
And so Amari Cooper. I've watched him the last couple years, and there are times when Amari Cooper looks unreal, and then there are other times when he's quiet as a church mouse.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see him. You don't even know he's there. You're like, what happened to the guy? And, you know, I'm used to being around guys like Tim Brown, Jerry Rice, you know, prolific. When you have a prolific receiver that has got, you know, Amari Cooper has got their kind of talent.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have to have that drive to where you always know they're in the game.
Right.
They don't just all of a sudden, you know, mute out during a game and like they don't exist. Those guys existed.
Right.
Okay. Ed McCaffrey, you know, as a slow white guy playing receiver in the NFL was my teammate in Denver. Was awesome, make big plays all over the place. Why? Because he had heart and drive. You know, Rod Smith, same guy. You know, not a high draft pick. I think he was a free agent. But you saw him, and you knew he was there.
Right.
And that's the only downside I see to Amari Cooper. But hats off to Jerry. You know, I was impressive. I also saw the playoff game against the Rams, you know, down at the Coliseum. And I was impressed with Dak Prescott at quarterback. What hurt them is they couldn't run the football.
Yep.
And that's who they – I think that's who they are. But Dak had to take it over, and they just didn't have, you know, the firepower to get it done throwing the football.
All right, so there it was right there, Bill Romanowski from Monday. That was just a portion of the interview. Like I said before, it was about 17, almost 18-minute interview. So if you want to hear the whole thing, listen to CentralTexasSports.com under podcast. Show's called Unnecessary Roughness. You can listen to the whole 17 or 18-minute thing. But that was the whole portion just about the Raiders, just focused in on the Raiders. And he had a lot of interesting things right there. Had a lot of interesting things to say. And again, like I said, I was going to ask him about Derek Carr. It crossed my mind. And then I said, nah, I'm just going to let Carr go because, you know, we've been talking about Derek Carr a lot. But, you know, hearing what he had to say on Colin Cowherd on Monday about, you know, Carr basically being traded. He thinks he's going to be traded because he's not a John Gruden guy as far as that tough, gritty type quarterback, the Rich Gannon type, the guy that just, you know, really goes to work. And not that he wants to win so bad, and not saying that Carr doesn't want to win, but just a different type of guy, you know. And so from Bill Romanowski knowing Gruden like he does, he just doesn't see Carr being that dude. So that was very interesting. You know, it's very interesting. So it's something that we're going to have to monitor. You know, we've been talking a lot about Derek Carr on the Locked On Raiders podcast and thinking that, and I've said, and I'm going to continue to say, I think 2019 is a prove-it year for Derek Carr. But it's interesting to see what guys that have played for John Gruden have to say. You know, it was very interesting when I asked MJ Acosta about Derek Carr and what her thoughts on that were. You know, it'll be very interesting when you hear that, and that will be played on the Locked On Raiders podcast. Based off what I'm looking at right now as far as the time, it probably won't be today. It'll probably be on Wednesday's episode, but that's fine. I don't want to overload you with too much anyway. I'll continue to feed it throughout the week. So, because I do want to get to some calls that we have off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. I want to continue to make sure we're able to get those off. So Bill Romanowski has some interesting stuff right there. Khalil Mack said something about an arthritic knee. I had never heard that about Khalil Mack. Maybe you have, but I hadn't. You know, as far as I'm concerned, Khalil Mack always has had a clean bill of health. I know he missed a couple games this season with the Bears, and he's never missed a game with the Raiders. I know, you know, he's been banged up. All football players are banged up. But the arthritic knee is kind of something interesting that Bill Romanowski kind of slid in there. And you know, we didn't expand on it, but we both took notice of it. And, you know, Craig looked at me and I looked at Craig and we were like, very interesting. Okay. And Amari Cooper, he really didn't say something that we didn't know, but at the same time, it kind of validated our point that we've been saying about Amari Cooper. Like, he's a damn good wide receiver, but he just disappears too often. There's times that it's Derek Carr's fault, but then there's times Amari Cooper's fault. And what Bill Romanowski had to say kind of validated that. Coming up in segment number three, calls off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. I want to continue to get those in as much as possible. I don't want to get backed up on calls, so I have to play an episode with like 15 or 16 calls. Want to be able to feed them as much as possible. So segment number three, 707-654-4693. You will hear calls off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back in, Raider Nation, to the Locked On Raiders podcast. Segment number three on this Tuesday, January 29th, 2019. Calls coming up in this episode off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. You're going to hear from fellow members of Raider Nation at 707-654-4693. Fun little feature that we have here on the podcast. Want to keep this thing going. A lot of good conversation we've been having off of the voicemail line on the podcast. So definitely going to keep it going. Even with it being Super Bowl week, it is all good. So first call of the day, Eddie. He's in East L.A. He's calling to talk about the Raiders as a whole and let me know about where they stand as far as their stranglehold on L.A. Who's the most popular team, the Rams or the Raiders? Because we know it ain't the Chargers, right? Here's Eddie in East L.A.
Hi, Q. This is Eddie calling from East L.A., man. Been listening to your podcast for a couple months. Love it. Keep up the good work. I'm a first-time caller as well. I kind of wanted to respond to your question about whether the Raiders still run L.A. I believe so, man. You know, you see a lot of people out here still rocking their Raider gear. You see Raider decals on a bunch of cars out here. And anytime you walk into a sports store out here, man, the Raiders always got a section for just their gear. Obviously, that's changed now a little bit with the Rams coming into town. But, I mean, Raider Nation still has a stronghold here in L.A., no matter what, you know, you can bring whatever team, and I still believe Raider Nation will always have a stronghold here in L.A. You know, and as far as the Chargers, they're a joke, man. I mean, even when they were in San Diego, they didn't really have much of a fan base out there. So, I mean, you got like one or two Charger fans out here, to be honest. And then one more thing, man, for the Super Bowl, I'll probably take some slack, but, you know, I hate the Patriots. But I also don't want to see the Rams win the Super Bowl because, you know, I love throwing it in the Rams fans' face that, you know, the Raiders are the only NFL team to ever bring a Super Bowl to the city of L.A. And I'd like to keep it that way. But, you know, sorry if anyone gets mad about Patriots winning another one. I mean, if there was a way for both of them not to win, that'd be great. But thanks for the time, Q. Just win, baby.
All right, Eddie holding it down in East L.A., still saying that the Raiders have a good stranglehold and good chokehold on it. Now, obviously, if the Rams go and win the Super Bowl and they continue to be a very successful team, we all know how it is, and a lot of fans will jump on the bandwagon, and it'll be very Ram-heavy, but I believe that the Raiders will always have a good little stranglehold and a good little showing and support in the city of L.A. We kind of knew that even when the Chargers and the Rams both got approved to go to L.A., it was kind of like, really, you're gonna keep the Raiders out of L.A. when they can easily run that? But, you know, they'll be fine in Vegas. They'll be fine in Vegas, and they don't have to share a stadium with anybody. And that's what I really do like, that they don't have to share any stadium. It is all theirs. Obviously, UNLV is going to play there, but that's a college team, and that's, you know, that's there in Vegas. So not mad at that, but don't have to share it with another NFL team. So I really like that. Next call comes from my man Nico in North Jersey. He's calling to respond to the question asked on Monday's show about what direction the team should go in the draft. Do they go offensive heavy? Do they go defensive heavy? Free agency? What's the plan? Here's a very detailed call from my man Nico.
Yo, Q, Raider Nation, it's your boy Nico from North Jersey. Just listened to your podcast, the Monday podcast. I'm going to answer the question that your boy Marquis said at the end of that. I think it's a very good question. You know, where do we go free agency? The draft? Do we hone in on a specific position or whatever? I think with our cap space and with our picks that we have, in the first 35, we got four of them. I think our motto in the draft is best player available. No need to reach on anybody. Okay. Take the best player available. Let the chips fly where they may. When it comes to free agency, you could see that each position group, some are scarce. The receiving free agency is terrible. There's nobody in free agency for the receivers. None. So does that mean you might have to draft one? Yeah. Does that mean you might have to draft two? Yeah. And conversely, the wide receivers for the draft are pretty deep. I mean, there's no Calvin Johnson, but there's a lot of good top-tier guys. You know, Harry, Harmon, both Browns, Metcalf, Butler. There's a bunch of them. So where you don't have it stocked for free agency, you got it in the draft. So that's perfect. That complements each other. The edge rushers for both. There's so many edge rushers in this draft. So many. And we've talked about that. And that's definitely where we should go at number four, in my opinion. And I hope everyone else agrees, unless Quinton Williams falls, sorry. We should definitely be going edge. But there's also a copious amount of edge rushers in free agency. D. Ford, Clark, Lawrence, Brandon Graham. There's a bunch. The list goes on and on. The guy, Trey Flowers. It goes on and on. Yeah, some of them are a little rich for my liking, and I don't think we should be breaking the bank, per se. But listen, If you could tell me we're going to get Frank Clark and Josh Allen with the draft and free agency, hell yeah, I'll take that. D Ford and Cleveland Farrell, why not? Like, there's no need to say, okay, we addressed edge in free agency, let's not do it in the draft. That's just not being smart. You take the best player available. And I think with our situation, there's no need to reach on anybody because we have that luxury of being picky, I kind of think, with the money we have. You know, in free agency, the safety class, you know, safety is something we need. You got Earl Thomas, Landon Collins, you got Matthew. But in the draft, there's some dudes, Rapp, Deontay Thompson. You know, there's a bunch of dudes there, too. So at the top of the – I'm saying in the first round, you know, with our 20s picks or whatever. So there's no need to reach on anybody. You know, linebackers, I think you need to snag at least one from each. You got Mosley, Barr, a couple other guys in there in free agency. And in the draft, I think there's like three and then there's a big drop-off. And you got Devin White, which I think at four, that's a little too high, so we won't get him unless we trade back. And he's definitely not going to make it to 23 or 27. And then you got Mac Wilson, who will be there with the later 20s, and Devin Bush. But after that, there's a big drop-off. So if you want linebackers and you don't address that in free agency, then you might have to reach for one in the draft. And I don't want to have to reach for anybody in the draft, to be honest. So I think they need to do a good job with snagging one from each position group, you know, even if it's not a big name. You know, there's nothing better than having a veteran free agent, combine that with a rookie, and you have that for the next few years to come, you know. So I think to answer his question, there's no need to reach on anybody. There's no need to take anybody early. Take best player available in the draft. There's no need to throw a wad of cash at people to come play for you. If they don't want to play for you, they don't want to play for you, you know. You're going to get people. It's just that's the nature of the game. You're going to get people that are locked into Gruden's vision and his plan for the team. And I honestly think that this could be a year, an offseason, where there's not a lot of hatred talk towards us, man. Everyone has something to say with the Raiders negatively. I think Mayock's going to come in and save the day. I really do. I think he's going to not overanalyze, not over-evaluate, not reach, not throw a bunch of money at people that he doesn't need to. He's going to see the needs on this team and address accordingly. So to answer his question, that's all I got to say. I want to see what the rest of you guys at Raider Nation and Lockdown have to say about this. All right, Q. Peace out.
Good stuff right there from my man Nico in North Jersey. Now, third call of the segment is from Daryl. He's in L.A. as well. He's talking about what team runs L.A. His answer's pretty cool. Then he also speaks on what he needs or wants the team to do in the draft, maybe free agency, but really what he wants them to do in the draft.
Thank you, Daryl, Los Angeles. To answer your question about who runs LA, really? The Lakers. No idea why. They are bad. They've been bad. Haven't been good for a long time, but they're the Lakers. Then the Dodgers. And football, well, okay. It has been the Raiders. I will say, though, I'll give the Rams credit. If they keep winning and keep doing things like that, all right, it might be a Rams city place. Right now, oh, yeah, it's still the Raiders. I just also wanted to talk about John Gruden over there at the Senior Bowl slapping helmets with Raider stickers. Gotta get them while they're young, right? I love that. I also want to see him get a linebacker, a middle linebacker. We haven't had a solid middle linebacker since, like, Greg Beaker. I mean, really. Navarro Bowman for half a year, I guess, but not really. Kurt Morrison was good, but, Thomas Howell was all right. But, really, you look at how our line plays. We've got young talent there. You got to get some linebackers, make that front seven dominant. Get that pass rush going. And, you might have something to go. So watching them out there getting all these young pups some love and, kind of putting his tag on players, I'm looking to see what ends up happening if we actually end up picking up these guys. All right, Q.
Alright, it's always good to hear from my man Daryl in LA. Appreciate that. And closing out the day today, Brother Marquise in the 305 representing Miami. He called on Monday and had a question for Raider Nation. Well, he's calling back on Tuesday with another question for Raider Nation. He wants the fan base to put their realistic thoughts into free agency. Put their GM hat on, but gotta be realistic about it. All right, who would you like to see the Raiders add to the squad? It's a very interesting call for Raider Nation from Brother Marquise in the 305 representing Miami one time.
Raider Nation, it's your brother from another mother. It's your brother Marquise calling all the Raider freaks. I'm here to ask another question to Raider Nation. In the age of John Madden football, we all enjoy being fictional GMs of the Oakland Raiders. So let's do that. Let's put ourselves in Mike Mayock and John Gruden's shoes. And I'd like to hear from you guys about the list of your top three offensive and defensive players to add to the Raiders. Let's be realistic, guys. Only one big ticket item allowed, meaning I don't want to see guys hear lists. People say, oh, give me Jadeveon Clowney, Trey Flowers, and Frank Clark. Come on, let's be realistic. Those three guys, odds are, you know, you're not going to even have all those guys available because they'll get franchised or whatever or whatnot. So let's try to limit your list to one ticket item. I'll give you mine. Offense, I'd like to see us bring in a guy like Tevin Coleman. I think he's got some speed and he can receive out of the backfield. I'd like to see us re-sign one of our own, Jared Cook, and I'd like to see us add some speed in John Brown, who had a really good year with Baltimore. He's been a good player, he's been injured. This year he played all 16 games and was off to a really good start before they went to Lamar Jackson, who doesn't throw the ball well. On defense, give me Preston Smith, who I think is a really good defensive lineman. I wanted him out of the draft. We took Mario Edwards instead. Trey Flowers, who I think is a strong defensive lineman. He's my one big ticket item. And Jason Verrett, who, if Raider fans are they're familiar with how good he is, but he's been injured the last couple of years. I think Verrett would give us a little more depth in that secondary, especially if he can return to form. All right, Raider Nation, hope to hear from you guys. I really like when we're able to talk about the same issues and hear what everyone has to say. All right. Brother Marquise is out.
All right, there you heard it. Brother Marquise in the 305 Miami putting out another question. He's enjoying these conversations we're having on the podcast and throwing out a question to Raider Nation that he'd love to hear your thoughts on. 707-654-4693. It's so hard to figure out exactly what direction the team should go, especially in the draft, until after you see what they do in free agency. And free agency opens up on March 13th, and I think that a lot of people will have a better idea of what they're going to do when they go into free agency. I also think that you'll have a better idea what they're going to do once you start seeing roster moves that they make leading up to March 13th. Cuts, trades, whatever, signings, you know what I mean, extensions. I think you'll have a better idea then as well. It's kind of hard for me to point my finger on exactly what I'd like to see them do, but we'll figure it out. So good question right there from Brother Marquise in the 305. Coming up on Wednesday's episode, I will warn you, Tuesday night is the media party, and I always have a lot of fun at that for obvious reasons. And so Wednesday's episode is going to be interesting. It'll be fun, but interesting. MJ Acosta from NFL Network, she'll be on the episode with the interview that I did with her Monday night. Just ran out of time on Tuesday's episode, but I did that interview at the Super Bowl opening night, and it was a lot of fun. She covers the Raiders for NFL Network. She also covers the 49ers as well, but she covers the Raiders and listens to the Locked On Raiders podcast, so that's pretty cool as well. So you'll hear that interview on Wednesday, plus a whole lot more. So until next time, as always, Raider Nation, just win, baby.